So we're going to look at probably one of the major things in Proverbs for a few weeks anyway, and that is the effect of our words on ourselves, on others, our marriages, our kids, grandkids, community, our witness. There's about 150 Proverbs, they say, on this theme alone, just on communication. Why is it that we criticize easily? Even sometimes Christians, we can be very critical, grumble bitterly over minor things, pass on information. Sometimes gossip is one of the most acceptable sins even among Christians. Repeat confidences when we've said, you know, we'll keep this in confidence. But it's so easy, as James says, or God through James, so hard. No man can tame the tongue. Almost everybody, we can recall words that hurt us, can't we? And we remember them like they were yesterday sometimes. Certain things that were said that crushed our hearts, our spirit, left us feeling hopeless. And one of the amazing things is a lot of times we remember when those words were said to us that stung, but we don't remember saying words that we did say to others that stung them. I heard about this stock boy who worked at a grocery store, and the lady came up and asked him if she could buy half a head of lettuce. And he was thinking to himself, now, this lady must be crazy, and he's going back to ask his manager, not realizing that the lady's walking right behind him. And he says to his boss back in the back, "You're not going to believe this, boss. There's this old bag back there. She's crazy. She wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. Can you believe it?" And he turned back around and saw that lady standing there. And quickly he thought, and he said, "And this fine lady would like to buy the other half." Now, words are really dangerous. Many times we can't get out of them like that. I'll never forget one time I was starting out in my first or my last church, and I was just starting out in the call, getting to know some ladies at this fellowship dinner. And I was talking about the fact, because I don't like fruitcake. That's one of the least, I like most foods, but I don't want to eat fruitcake. I don't like it. And I'm talking about, and this lady piped up, and she told me, "You know, but I make the best fruitcake of all." And I couldn't just be honest, and I didn't want to hurt her feelings, and just say to her, "You know, no thanks, I'm not going to like it." And I said to her, "Okay, well, I'll try one of yours." And guess what? She brought me one. And she kept asking me about how I liked it. Reminds me of a proverb that says that a man shall eat of the fruit of his words. Proverbs 13:2, "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth." But sometimes that's the other way, isn't it? "But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence," it says. Someone wrote, "Be careful of the words we say. Keep them soft and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat." The point is, people speak badly from their hearts, from a desire to get their way in their sinful flesh and get what they want, and they think it's the best thing, but it comes out in harmful words, hurtful words, and essentially the results are many times very negative. And we come back and we eat those things, and we deal with the effect negatively of our sinful words. Our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble. Jesus talked about it a number of times. One place is Matthew 12. He said, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure, evil things." But he said, "I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." It means you, one day, your words are one of the ways they're going to reveal whether or not you had salvation. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 12:13 says, "The wicked are ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble." Proverbs 11:9 says, "The hypocrite," meaning the one who goes through life ignoring God, "with his mouth destroys his neighbor." And why? Because he lacks knowledge, that proverb says, that comes from the fear of God. But through knowledge, it says, the righteous one will be delivered. It's through the relationship one has, a wise man or woman, with the Lord, that he avoids gossip and hurting people with his words or hurting himself. And the fact is, sometimes we'll just like to talk a lot when we don't really have much of substance worth saying. Have you ever found that true? We get in danger. That's when we're in danger the most many times, to slip into gossip or hurtful speech or negative speech that is very reckless. There's a lot of people that Proverbs talk about, a group of people that are careless with their words. That's one of the dangers with your words. And in the process of that, they hurt people with what they say. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There's one who speaks like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." There's a story I read about one time. This husband caught his wife with her hair in large curlers. And he said, "What happened to your hair?" And she said, "I said it." And he thought he was so witty when he replied, "When does it go off?" And we love it in our society, don't we, to be witty, quick with the tongue. And I know a lot of times it's in jest. But the Bible's very clear about the dangers of cutting words. We read the passage in James that reminds us of the power of the tongue, how it's like a little spark and a little bit of fire that starts into this huge forest fire. And a lot of us, we've experienced what that's like, the danger of words and how gossip can go ablaze, just like from one little careless thing and one bit of gossip from a few people and all that it turns into. I was reading about a fire back from in Australia in the late 1800s, and it said over one night it destroyed thousands of kilometers of land and homes and animals just from a careless match. And this is the way our tongue can be. Like starting a forest fire, James says, producing a wildfire with our tongues, it requires little effort. Rumors and half-truths and grumblings and sarcastic remarks, hurtful things said when we're angry, they're just like smoldering matches that have the potential for burning down acres of office morale and family peace and church unity. Ray Ortland said, "How many people does it take to split a church? Not half the congregation, just two. One to start the fiery negativity," he said, "and another not to confront it and for the sin that it is." Proverbs 17:4 said, "An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue." God wants us to know that He holds us accountable, that just standing there and listening to it can be just as bad as sharing it. Tolerating the evil, we're sharing in the evil. Listening can be like lying or lying. The proverb says a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Listening to gossip can be just as bad as sharing it. Your inner character is revealed, Proverbs tell us, not by just what we say, but by what we willingly listen to others say. And if you're honest, you realize that if you're listening to gossip, you're often probably developing habits that are going to be a part of sharing gossip and false things. So the key is stop listening to it, and more than likely you won't share it. You'll stop sharing it, or you won't do it to start with. We might think, well, you know, I'm just listening. People are leaning on me. They're telling me things because they know that I care, you know, and I'm a Christian and I want to pray about it. I'm just giving a listening ear. But Proverbs says, be careful. Because there are certain people that, even if they don't realize it, they can become a bit like rubbish collectors. And they're constantly taking in everybody's negativity and garbage, the one that people go to and speak to people about and tell that person, because they thought, okay, he's got a sympathetic ear, or she does not. They'll listen to me. And it's dangerous. When they ought to be speaking to the person, the right person, in the right way, at the right time, with love and honesty. Now, they're going to this person. It's like a rubbish collector taking in all of what they want to say because they think the person will listen to them and sympathize with them. And the fact is, you're just enabling sinful behavior. It's just as dangerous, the proverb says, in listening to gossip as it is in sharing it. We have to be aware of that and take heed. Realize there's something in sinful flesh nature that doesn't want to deal with the person that really needs to be dealt with in love and truth. We like to be a coward in our sinful flesh and go behind the scenes and talk to somebody else. We think that's the right way to do it. We'll even rationalize it by how we're praying for the people, you know, and how we really care about them or whatever it may be. But we don't want to be bold. We'll be bold behind their back, but we don't want to be loving and courageous to their face in the loving, truthful way with the goal of trying to help. No, don't be the one that people think, gossips think, you'll sympathize and be a listening ear to them. No, you're not doing any favors to anybody. Don't be the hero for those who think they have anyway, hurt feelings. Because when it comes to destructive speech, that go-to guy that everybody wants to go to with their stuff can become an even bigger problem than the ones that are going to them with all of it. And we need to remember that. The Bible talks about, Jesus said, and what we read, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word, even Christians, especially, not a matter of whether we're saved or not, but we're going to give an account. The reality is we should take our speech more seriously. We don't take it seriously enough. And even when we don't have intentions to try to cause damage or to be mean, careless words that come out of our mouths cut, like that proverb says. And we need to think about it. We talk about having cutting remarks, you know, and we kind of laugh about it. But we can see it can happen. Like we looked at anger, and things can flow out of our anger, unthinking words, just blurting things out, not filtering it. You know, it's a quiet evening at home, no stress, it seems fine. And all of a sudden, somebody says something with a little bit of edge on it, and that other person responds back. And we read that proverb, didn't we, last week, Proverbs 15:1. It applies to words too, not just anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs anger. So the first word for anger there means anger at its hottest. The second word is anger that's normal. And a gentle answer and word used by God can quench the worst anger, but a word unthinking can stir up normal anger into worse anger. We saw that last week. But the tongue of the wise, by God's grace, can bring healing. Words can be used by God to heal the very words that the tongue has caused damage to. Maybe you didn't cause the damage in somebody's life, but God can use you to bring healing in their life through your tongue, through godly speech. That's what we want to focus on. The point is, through godly words, well thought through words, and soothing words, not words that agitate or get people more upset, but help them learn who they are in Christ. God can use us. He can use us to help or to hurt. The choice is ours. We can be a fool and feel the brunt of that pain that comes back on us, or be used to help them grow, to deal with the pain. The reality is, sometimes it can be, like we said last week, and with anger, not just what we say, but our tone, our body language. We got to ask God to help us craft our words as He works through us, and based on His word and His wisdom, think through how God will use what He wants us to say. But the reality is, the Proverbs tell us it's so easy, isn't it, to say things, to speak out. But as we all know, it's common sense that's often too uncommon. It's easy, not so easy to undo what we say, is it, when it's done? Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer, gossip, are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." When we listen to or share gossip, it reveals something that's wrong on the inside. There can be an emptiness there, a hunger for something that's missing, and we're thinking that somehow in sharing these things we're better off, that we know something, that we're important, that in listening to these things that somehow it feeds us, it's tasty, it's interesting, it's important. It's behind what we see sometimes in society when people like to see other people kind of having problems and to act like they really care, but in reality, in their sinful flesh, it's like they kind of enjoy the fact that there's controversy and that their lives are better than those that they watch. But Solomon warns us that it goes down deep, these negative words, sinful words. It makes an impression on us, whether we think about it or think it affects us or not. It can affect how we view life, how we view those other people, for good or bad. It can be interesting and secret and easy and fill the void that we can think in our pride makes us more important than we are. Gossip and slander can make us feel that we know something others don't, even make us feel that we feel better about our own lives. And once we hear it, Proverbs tell us, it goes down deep into the inmost parts. It begins to change us, and affect how we view others. And this can cause us to not be able to be used with our words for good. Listening to gossip is easy, the Bible says, like eating candy, but it goes down deep. It doesn't dissolve. It gets down into our soul. It settles in, and the effects are nasty and bad, and we need to remember that. The gossip normally likes sharing that secret information or the listener hearing it and the feeling of being in the know. We need to see the potential of our words for danger, first of all. Careless words can be like razor blades, like that proverb says, 12:18, flying out of our mouths to the hearts of people, and scars remain a long time after the words have been said. I like the story, just to throw a little humor in there, this boy who told his mom, "Mom, I love you." And the mom was struggling with self-esteem, you know, and she said, "Well, how can you love me? You know, I'm overweight, I'm unattractive, all this stuff." And the boy, not thinking, said, "You're not overweight and unattractive, Mom. You're overweight and beautiful." That wasn't very helpful, was it? But sometimes we got to have God's grace, because God can use wise people to communicate true wisdom so that their words can help others and themselves. We tend to underestimate what God can do through our words on the negative side or the positive, and we just kind of ignore it all. But the fact is, our words matter, whether in what we say verbally or what's said in social media or emails. And we know that in today's world, all of this, the way words can affect things, is changed, hasn't it? But we need to understand the basics. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." The reality is, words are powerful, and they should be uttered carefully, because the more we say many times, the more problems flow out of it. And the goal is that God will help us to be wise, insightful, and to care about the timing and truthfulness of our words. And that's why we got to reflect. We got to think and pray and ask God to think about it. The more we say, the more likely things will unravel, the proverb says, and we'll go into more sins. What happens the more we talk? Well, we know that we can make promises that we can't keep, right? We can offend people. We can embarrass ourselves. We can show our ignorance, our pride. We can brag. Probably many other things. I like what Walkie said. He said in his commentary on Proverbs, Bruce Walkie, "Sin is not stopped by multiplying words." Why? Because sin is a matter of the heart, and when the words are multiplied, number one, they can't be thought through sufficiently and precisely. Number two, once released, they can't be taken away. They're out there. He says, "The wise person is humble, fearing the Lord, and knowing that the only true good words come from God." The point is, we tend to think that we might fix things by our words, right? The way we talk about things and talk about things with other people, about other people. You know, we'll fix it, we'll make it better, you know, but it doesn't help. And of course, the answer is not clamming up and saying nothing. It's wisdom. It's caution. The more we say, the more careful we need to be and prayerful. Walkie again said, "The one who observes carefully his mouth and exercises great care to defend his words against evil speaking protects his own life against misfortune." Proverbs 21:23, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble." Proverbs 13:3, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." I like the old story of the frog that wanted to cross the lake, you know, but he didn't think he could make it over this big lake, and he had to be creative and figure out a way to get across the lake. And he found these two birds and a big stick and asked the birds if somehow they would take him across. They could hold one, hold one side, one the other, and that he would hold on with his mouth, you know, and they would fly him across. Brilliant idea, the birds said. They started off, you know, the bird's flying and the frog latched with his mouth onto the stick, you know, and they're getting about halfway over the lake. They're carrying this frog through the air. And this man down on the bottom, the frog could kind of see him and eye him. This man said, "Wow, that's amazing. How are they doing that? Who thought that up?" Somehow the frog heard him ask. And that's when the frog spoke up and said, I did. You get the picture. Opening your mouth at the wrong time and wrong way can do great harm, not just to others, but to yourself. The wise are careful with their words, will not say things that get them in trouble as much, deceitful and provocative or critical, unnecessarily insulting speech that harm others, that harm ourselves many times. But they want to, with their words, glorify God and build up other Christians. And God gives us the motivation of how it affects our own lives. When we guard our words, we guard our lives. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Talking about his words. Maybe he's upset, or she. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. The proverb said, we've got to listen. We saw that in the truth about anger, but it runs through the truth in Proverbs about our communication and words. Listening is necessary. We've got to listen to find out what we're dealing with and where people are coming from, and to really see things God's way. And we've got a tendency, don't we, to get our 2 cents in, right? Or 10 cents, right? We're sitting on the edge of our seat and we're ready to say what we think needs to be said. The Proverbs say, hold back. Isn't this what Paul says in the New Testament? It's not just in the Old. Ephesians 4, say only what's helpful, building others up according to God's grace. But we can't do that if we don't have understanding. I like the old story of the owl. It said a wise old owl sat in the oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to be more like that bird. And when we're talking, though, we've got to make sure we're hearing, not just talking, but listening and hearing before we jump to conclusions, whether it's to encourage someone or to avoid gossip so that our mouths don't get us into trouble or hurt others. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. That's foolish, not wise behavior. So we got to think, ask God to help us to restrain. And that's all through the problem. Restrain, reflect, grow wiser. See what's going on. See God's perspective. Get God's wisdom. Be a wise person who speaks from knowledge of God and not our own way and our own thinking, so we can really see what's being dealt with. The goals, if you want some good steps to be more Christ-like in your speech, here's some key things. Just to remember, ask God to help you become the right person, meaning growing in wisdom, becoming Christ-like. That's what we're talking about in this series, aren't we? Be more like Christ. Ask Him to do that. We can't do that on our own. But out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Number 2, one who gives the right information. Right person gives the right information based on the truth. Number 3, giving the right words. Out of that will flow those giving words with substance. Words can heal. Words can be used by God when He's giving us wisdom, and it flows out of that. And then given in the right way. With sweetness. We're going to look at that, a proverb on that. Gentleness, kindness, given with the right motivation. Love and desire to build people up, not to tear them down. And then given to the right person at the right time. Timing's key, and for the right purpose to build trust and community. Those are some key things in godly speech. See, the problem is, many times the reason we have bad language, not just bad words or that, but words that hurt people, we say negative things, critical things, gossip, is because our speech is lacking in substance. We're not growing in wisdom in Christ. Because if we were growing in that, then out of that would flow more godly speech. Ephesians 4, again, says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That means building people up, that they'll impart grace to the hearers. What we say will impart grace. That unwholesome talk is talking about empty speech, rotten, putrid, filthy. There's nothing to it. It says, you're not a part of that as a Christian. That's the old way. Now we've got a new life in Christ. He's living in us through the Spirit. Now let that flow out of us, what is helpful according to grace, to build others up. That's what Jesus Christ does through us, to use our words. But sometimes we as Christians, even we, can be left without substance in our words. There'll be emptiness in our words, and then resulting negativity and criticism. and gossip. And only Jesus Christ. In all of these things in Proverbs, remember, we're not going to be wise without Him. He's got to change us. Same for all of us, isn't it? It's true. Sometimes we don't have a lot to talk about of substance, and then we end up fueling the fires of our conversation with everybody else. That's what happens a lot of times. But God can give us grace to change in it if we're having struggle with that or to avoid that. By His grace in Christ, He will. Because we want Him to use us, don't we, to be those that are being like Him, like Jesus, and you, according to His Word, those that speak what is helpful to others to build them up in a godly, positive way, according to truth. And that's what Jesus came to do. He has to change that in us. I love Proverbs 16, 23, 24. It says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like the honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." That proverb is saying, like Jesus said, out of our heart, our mouth speak. The mouth speaks what's in the heart, and what's going on in our heart, whatever we're struggling with in our sinfulness, and we may not think about it or be aware of it, whether it's bitterness, anger, whatever it is, it's going to show up in the overflow of our mouths and what we're saying. Pleasant words flow from a heart that's overflowing with wisdom and knowledge from God. We need to have words that are sweet, no doubt about it. That means there's something important to our words, that there's a gentleness to them. They sound good and loving and gracious. They're timed well. Proverbs talk about that. But more than anything else, not just sweetness, substance to our words. Godly substance. Because we're growing in wisdom to know God, have His perspective on life and on other people around us, and therefore we're growing to understand where other people are and what God's Word has to say to their lives, and we're saying it as godly people with the right motives more and more, in the right way and the right time. And this proverb says that these pleasant and persuasive words are sweetness to the soul and can be health to the bones. The bones there, as I look this up in commentators, it's talking about the basis of the body's strength. In other words, mental, emotional, spiritual strength. God can use us as His Word affects us and He speaks through us to help people when they're flagging, when they're down. And where does it all flow from? They're effective words, persuasive and powerful, because they come from the wisdom of God in a wise person's life growing in Christ. And so on the opposite side, we know that gossip is tasty and tempting, but there's no substance to it. But wisdom is different. Pleasant words are important, but there needs to be a substance. That's what matters the most. And that ought to be our goal. Folks, there are people all around us, even in the church and around the community and work. They're hurting. They're crying out for hope. They don't know where the hope is. But God can use us as we grow in Him to speak words of wisdom that'll draw them and point them to the gospel of Jesus Christ as they see God's love and wisdom working through us. And that ought to be one of our goals, is that Christ will help us grow in that area to speak godly, wise words that are focused on caring about others, not only Christians, but those that are around us. How do we stop saying unkind, uncompassionate words? The only change is going to be Christ in us. As we focus on God's Word and all the encouragement and wisdom that He's flowing and giving to us. And we know that comfort, we know the encouragement, and we know that He can work through us to give encouragement to others. One man said about Ephesians 4:29, "We're to speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may literally grace those who listen." We want them to know God's grace and wisdom. And we want our words to become a vehicle of which that grace is shown and demonstrated. Don't we want that in our lives and through our church, that people will see the difference in Christ? Why we're called to be in this world, to show them the difference that Christ alone can make through the transformation He's bringing through His grace and wisdom in each of our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. The illustration in that proverb of honey is wisely chosen, for it both tastes sweet, but honey does good. And God's Word is like that, as he gives us wisdom and he speaks through us, and godly words can be used in that way, pleasing to the ear, but producing something of great value and impact in people's lives. May that be our goal more and more. See, this is what we need to remember. What matters to us beyond all the negativity and ugly things that we're going to hear through other people's words is what Jesus has said to us, his word. Amen? Well, that's what matters the most, is what Christ has said. His word says, the Spirit bears witness, it says in Galatians, with your spirit that you are a child of God. And we got to remember that. There's so much grace in Jesus Christ overflowing for ourselves, but also to be used as we are used by God. What does Proverbs 10:21 say? The lips of the righteous will nourish many. God wants to use us in that. One couple of key things. Listen to your conscience. Ask the Holy Spirit as he is working in you to help you as you might be tempted to use your words in the wrong way. More than anything, search God's word for what the Lord says on different things so that we know his truth. I love Proverbs 30, verses 5 to 6. It says, every word of God is pure. We know that, don't we? But we need to remember, that's where truth is. He's a shield to those that put their trust in him. Don't add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. It's saying, stay close to the only source of truth, God's word. If we want to be used by God and our speech to be changed, and if we want to be make an impact for his glory, how does God transform our words? We're going to get into this a couple weeks from now, a little bit more. Get God's view on it, number one. Proverbs 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Saying there's incredible value in godly words. So get God's view on it. Somebody said, our words are more than puffs of air coming through our vocal cords. They have moral status in God's eyes. This means knowledgeable, informed, intelligent words are rare and valuable in this world, but they're important. So important to God. You know, God's given us an amazing ability, hasn't he? To do what animals can. Yeah, like somebody said, you might be able to teach a dolphin to say a word. I don't know if you can or not, but he said, but you can't get your kid to be quiet. God's given this ability, you know, to form things called words that come off of our tongues, that go into the minds and hearts of hearers, and can be used for good or bad. Incredible. With this little piece of muscle called the tongue. But we're made in his image. It's marred by sin, the image of God in us. But it's being remade for those of us in Jesus Christ. And part of that is our speech and our words. You know, when it talks about things that the Lord hates in Proverbs 6, there's about three or four of those that relate. You read it on your own. Relate to words. God cares about our words. Get his view on it. Number two, get honest about it. Last thing here, we got to be honest about where we are. If God's going to change our hearts and what's happening in our words and what's motivating us, what's deep beneath, because our heart, our words come from what's in our hearts. If you're going to play a game about it and be kind of just act like there's no issue there, because we all are in the process of sanctification, aren't we, as Christians? We've got to be honest with God. He'll help us change. It's only his grace that'll change us, but we've got to get honest about it. And the gospel alone can change us, but God will help us as we focus on his great love in the cross. Remember that Jesus Christ had that time where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That time where the Father, because of Jesus taking our sin, that communication for a time was broken down. He did that so that communication from God to us in Jesus Christ never is broken down. It's his amazing love that his word is always given to us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that he constantly speaks to us that changes our lives so that we want to speak in a way that pleases him. We need to remember that. Jesus did this. He gave us. He loved us so much that his sacrifice deleted the damning record before God of every foolish and careless word that we'll ever say or ever spoken. But we should never take that for granted, folks. that we're forgiven if you're a Christian, and all words you've ever said are forgiven. Because we want to please the Lord, don't we, if we're born again? We want His life to work through us. So let's ask the Lord to help us to do that as we close, that we'll walk in a newness of life in Him. It'll impact our hearts and our wisdom in Him. It'll affect the way that we live and what we say especially. So let's turn to Him now at this time.